Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Let me know when you hear me clear and see me good. It does take a couple minutes to load up on YouTube here, but we will get started. If you're watching the replay, you'll probably see this. Welcome, everybody. Today's going to be an amazing day. I'm believing, as always, for the power, the anointing, and the fire of the Holy Spirit to show up in the stream, in your life, and for there to be breakthrough. I've said this over and over and over again. I don't just want to be teaching, talking. I want to see breakthrough in your life. I want to see breakthrough in my life. I want to experience the presence of God. I really want to experience Him. I really want to know Him. I don't just want to talk about Him. I want to be in relationship with Him. So tonight, that's the goal, is bring us into closer relationship with Christ. I challenge you to stay on the entire broadcast. I have a lot to share with you tonight, but I'm going to keep it pretty concise on the same theme of the message tonight. We're in episode 181 of Monday night teaching. I don't even know what to call it. It was Friday night fire, then it switched a couple years ago to Monday night. But we're on episode 181. That's a lot of sermons. That's a lot of messages. That's a lot of teachings. That's a lot of verse by verse. But we're going to continue on preaching stories from the Bible as we've been for the last month. I believe the Lord's been speaking to me these words to speak to you guys. And so I hope that you came hungry. I hope that you came with expectation. I hope you came believing that God is going to bring transformation to your life. I have no power to change you. I have no power to deliver you. I have no power to save you. I can't save anyone. But it's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to speak forth His word. And in His word, there is power. And the Holy Spirit touches your life, there is power, there is authority. So I'm just asking that the Holy Spirit would invade your life, your family. And I want to tell you this, you might not even know what God is doing. You might not even feel anything, but there's change that happens when the power of God's word goes forth. When the word of God is declared, when scripture goes forth, there's life-changing power that you might not even see. You might not even feel. We have to get out of this feel-good Christianity. We have to get out of this I have to feel something Christianity into faith, into believing that the Lord's going to do it even if I'm not feeling it. So that's what we're believing for tonight. Make sure you share this. Make sure you like this. We used to do a whole segment on like the stream, share the stream. Just help us out getting on the algorithm, these live streams. You know, they're not super promoted on the YouTube algorithm, these preachings, but we're just believing that God's going to supernaturally get this out there. So help us out. Like it, share it, do all that good stuff. I'm going to be July 20th speaking at Yakima, Washington for Revival in the Desert. You can go to revivalinthedesert.com for info. July 21st, I'll be at Hungry Generation Church, 9 a.m. and 11:30. So you don't want to miss that. That's going to be this coming July 21st. And then I'll have other dates coming soon. October 26th, I'll be at the Now Arena in Chicago for the Breakers Conference. Go to Ticketmaster to get your ticket. And also, I want to mention our prayer calls for our monthly partners. If you're a YouTube member monthly or website partner monthly, you can get invited to our prayer calls. And they move from Thursday at 1:30 to now Monday at noon. And they're still going right now. We started Monday today at noon. It was super powerful. And the prayer call is still going. So welcome everybody in here that's from the prayer call that's been going. It's been so good, so powerful. Me and Jared have been just preaching, teaching, praying. And I'm not trying to make y'all jealous or anything like that, but these are my favorite meetings of the week, is these Monday Now at Noon prayer calls. The fire's there. The presence of God is there. We're challenged. The Holy Spirit giving us words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and it's a really, really good time, so don't miss out on that. Okay, let's jump into this today. As I said, I want you to expect God to move in your life as I'm preaching, as I'm teaching. I'm reading the chat the entire time. For some of you that are like, are you reading the chat? Yes, I'm reading the chat. Tomorrow on the podcast, Jared will be on. We're going to be talking about speaking in tongues. We're going to be speaking in tongues. We're going to be giving you all the verses about tongues. What are the benefits of praying in tongues, speaking in tongues? Is there a difference? Answering all your questions on tongues tomorrow, as well as doing a teaching me and Jared on the podcast. So that's going to be amazing. You don't want to miss tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And then after this stream, Jared and Candace will be doing live worship. So we'll send you guys over there after about an hour and a half, 2 hours here. But I want you guys today to just have faith that God's going to do the impossible. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe you've been going through it. Maybe there's been a chain or a bondage you've been in for years that you just haven't been able to break free from. The Lord wants you to be free. The goal of God is to get you out of bondage. If you look all throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament, our God is a delivering God. He's a God that doesn't want us to stay in our prison cell. So maybe you have been in anxiety this week. Maybe you have been in depression this week. Maybe there's addiction or perversion or fear that you've been struggling with. The good news is we serve a God that can break the chain. Nothing else can break the chain. The bottle that you keep running to cannot break the chain. The pill that you keep running to cannot break the chain. The ungodly relationship you keep running to is not going to break you free. Jesus is the only one that can break you free. Today, the Holy Spirit wants to break you free from that, wants to bring you out of that bondage. We're gonna be talking all about that. And I'm gonna be sharing with you a New Testament story where the Lord brought people out of bondage. And I know I've been preaching a lot out of the Old Testament for actually the last like month. And some of you are like, I just don't believe these stories are relevant to us. Or maybe some preachers hear me and say, well, this doesn't apply to us the way you're preaching it, brother. And you just can't take stories from the Bible and apply them to our life. That's actually opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is inspired by God, all of it, Old Testament and New Testament. And this is what Paul writes to Timothy. And it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. This is what the Bible does, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So here Paul is writing to Timothy saying all scripture is useful to teach. And not only that, but it teaches us what's wrong in our life. And you might tonight, you might get mad at me. You might get angry. You're not the first, you're not the last. When I'm declaring the scripture, there might be times of conviction, but this is what the scripture does. It shows us what's wrong in our life and it corrects us and it shows us what to do and teaches us what to do, what is right. That's why some of us don't open the Bible. Some of us don't like reading the Bible because we don't want to change. We think we're fine where we're at. The culture and the American Church Incorporated has told us you are okay where you are. You don't need to change. You don't need to be delivered. You don't need to be free. You don't need to do anything. Just sit back, enjoy your life here. And guys, you know how many people are going to enjoy their life here, blink, be in eternity, and some will make it to heaven and realize they did nothing for God. They never did anything for God in this life. This is the only chance you get. I've said this over and over again. This is the only chance you get to share your faith with people. You have one quick shot. When you get to heaven, you will not need to share your faith. This is the only chance you get to cast out demons. This is the only chance you get to heal the sick. When you get to heaven, there will be no demons. There will be no need to heal the sick. And so sometimes I'm burdened by preaching. Sometimes I don't want to preach. I'm tired, I'm weary, it's 110 degrees outside. I don't know, I just don't feel like it all the time. But I realize how short life is. Every minute that passes by is a minute lost. I'm a minute closer to eternity. And I got one shot. I'm not going to be preaching in heaven. I got to use my time to declare the word of God. And I feel that urgency tonight. I feel that hunger in people tonight. Like, I got to do something for the Lord. The Bible is useful. It's teaching me what's wrong in my life. It's showing me. All of it is. Is it just the New Testament? No. The Old Testament as well teaches me what is true, makes me realize what is wrong, and it corrects me, and it equips me, and I'm now trained. Some of us are not equipped, but the Word of God equips us to do the work that God has called us to do. Every single one of you, live now and watching on the replay, you have an assignment. You, maybe no one's ever told you this. You have a mission that God has given you for this life. Nobody else can do what you can do. There's a specific calling. Now, if you don't take it, God can take your calling and give it to someone else, but you need to know that you have a specific calling. You stop taking your calling and your assignment and trying to pawn it off to someone else. Your assignment is not just to live an average, normal life. Your assignment is not just to have good kids, healthy family, and then just die and go to heaven. Your assignment is to see this world changed by the power of God, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to go into all the world and make disciples, to go into all the world and proclaim the kingdom of heaven is here. You cannot afford to live casual. You cannot afford to be a stale Christian. You cannot afford to be some crusty religious person that just does nothing for God. You cannot afford to be like everybody else at your church. Well, everybody else, that's the problem. That's the problem, everybody else. Everybody else does it. Everybody else. You're not called to be like everybody else. You're called to be set apart, set aside, and different. And the Lord is calling you, and you're not on this by accident. You're not on this stream, and I know I'm already making some of you mad. It's okay. Maybe you need to get mad. Maybe you need to get stirred up to conviction. Maybe this is why we've been so lazy for so long, is because nobody's willing to poke us, to prone us, to pry on us, to push and say, we got to go harder for God. We got to get radical for God. We can't be on the fringes of a religious system. The Bible is powerful. All of it is. Romans 15:4. Such things were written in Scripture long ago to teach us. And Scripture gives us hope and encouragement as we patiently wait for God's promise to be fulfilled. So all of these things we see in the Bible, I'm going to show you tonight, they were written to teach us, to instruct us, to give us hope. 1 Corinthians 10:11. These things happen. What's it talking about? These things in the Bible happened as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of this age. So you are living, according to Paul, to the church of Corinth, at the end of the age. You're in the end of the age right now. Paul was in it, and you're still in it right now. And these things were written to warn us and to help us live right. Guys, we are living in a time, do I have to say this every single week, where we cannot afford to be casual with the presence of God. We cannot afford to not be men and women of prayer. We cannot afford little compromises in our life. And I'm going to talk about compromise tonight. The devil wants us compromised. He wants us washed up. He wants us watered down. He wants us lukewarm. You cannot afford it. Everybody might backslide. Everybody might turn their back on God. All of your friends and family might say, I don't want to serve God. You might be right now, I'm preaching to somebody, the only one serving the Lord in your family. You cannot afford to give up. Do not allow the flame to go out. This is not an accident you're here. Don't click off. Do not allow the flame to go out. Do not allow the fire to go out. This is by God's divine appointment that you are alive right now and you are on fire and the Holy Spirit. And if you're not, God's going to light you on fire. We need fire back in the church. We need fire back in the pulpits. We need fire back in the body of Christ. We need the boldness, the conviction. We need to wake up burning with passion for God, burning with passion for souls, burning to preach to those that are lost and hurting, to evangelize, to witness, to pray. Unashamed, unashamed. People are going to think we're crazy. Yeah, people think I'm crazy. I have friends that think I'm crazy. I have friends that think I'm weird. I have family that thinks I'm, some of my family members think I'm crazy. They think I'm weird. Oh, you're just doing that preaching thing, shouting again, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I know the truth. I know what God has done in my life, and I'm going to proclaim the gospel. This is what you're called to do. This is the calling God has given us. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God, I'm talking about the word of God. Are you guys tracking with me? Type something if you're tracking. The word of God is alive. Let's just stop right there. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is alive? What we're preaching about right now, today, the verses, I'm giving you a verse that's alive. What does that even mean? It's alive. It's not dead. It's the only living book. When you see your Bible on the shelf, you need to realize that thing's alive. That thing has supernatural power. That thing has a life of in itself. The word of God, the scripture, is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest, Hebrews 4:12, the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So the word of God, it's alive, it's powerful, it exposes us. Be like, oh, someone made an exposed video about you. I don't even care. I get exposed all the time by the word of God. The word of God exposes me. When I read the word of God, it exposes the areas of my life where I'm not right with God. When I'm reading about how I can't have offense, and the Lord exposes offense in my heart. When I'm reading about how I can't have unforgiveness, the Lord exposes unforgiveness. When you're reading about how you can't, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery, it exposes that lust in your heart. Exposes that perversion in your heart. Oh, thieves, liars, fornicators, adulterers, none of those will inherit the kingdom of God. If I have aught with my spouse, deal with it, or else God's not going to answer my, hear my prayers. I'm going like, this is exposing me. Forget about some 15-viewer YouTuber trying to make an exposed video on me, the same video he's made 100 times. Bro, I'm already getting exposed by the word of God every time I open it up. Every time I read it, the Lord's convicting me. The Lord is changing me. Guys, I want to challenge you. Open your Bible. Open your Bible. Get in the word of God. Let it pierce you. Let it wound you. It's like a surgical instrument. It goes in there and cuts out the cancer of sin in my life. It exposes the areas of my life that are wrong. And your flesh, it's going to do everything it can to not have you read. It's going to do everything you can. You right when you start reading, how many of you start falling asleep? That's your flesh. That's a lie. That's a demonic. It wants to put you to bed. Demonic spirit trying to put you to sleep every time you read the Bible. Why do you think, let me just ask you this. Why can you watch Netflix? I guess I'm the only one. Okay, I'll talk about myself then. Why could we watch Netflix for 4 to 8 hours? Why could we scroll on TikTok for hours? And I'm preaching to myself. Why could you play video games for hours? Why could you do all these things for hours? Some of you can shop for hours. Some of you can watch football for hours, which I still don't understand, but I don't know. Some of you could watch all these things for hours. I could watch pickleball for hours, I'll be honest, all right? Easy. All these things are easy. But then the moment you open the Word of God, why is it so hard to read for 10 minutes? Why is it so hard to read for 5 minutes? There is such a battle. The devil knows, your flesh knows, that when you read the Word of God, you will get exposed. Your sin will get exposed. Your compromise will get exposed. The darkness hidden deep in your heart that nobody knows about. The Bible says this, your innermost thoughts. Think about that. Hebrews 4:12 says it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. How many of you in the chat right now, and I'm reading the chat this whole time, how many of you in the chat right now would say, I would be terrified if anybody knew my innermost thoughts? Not my thoughts, my innermost thoughts. My innermost desires. Because praise God, we don't act upon our thoughts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God that we don't act upon everything we think. Praise God that we don't act upon our innermost desires. You might have, let's just say, perverted innermost desires and you don't act on them. Praise the Lord. That's called self-control. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Perversion is not a fruit of the Spirit. Lust is not a fruit of the Spirit. Fornication is not a fruit of the Spirit. Thank God self-control is. Thank God that I can control my flesh, control myself. I can crucify myself. But the Bible goes into those deep, deep areas. Those deep areas where we hide sin, where we hide our thoughts, where we hide our compromise. And the Lord says, I'm going to expose those deep things tonight. The deep bondages, God wants to bring you out of those things. I know I keep hitting on this, but I felt that strong in prayer today, in our prayer call, that the Lord's delivering people from perversion. Perversion is the wrong version of something. And there is a spirit of perversion that has assaulted the body of Christ. And that spirit has attacked the body of Christ. And the Lord's going to deliver us from perverted teachings, perverted music, perverted movies, perverted television shows, perverted talk, perverted mindsets, perverted thoughts, perverted sexual desires. The perversion, this is what we're seeing. I'm not even into my message yet. Is it okay if I go long? This is what we're seeing right now in our culture is perversion. Massive perversion. What is wrong is now right. What is right is now wrong. Everything's twisted. It's the wrong version. A man with a man is perversion. Why? Because it's not God's version. It's a different version. That's perversion. I hope you're tracking what I'm saying here. A woman with a woman is perversion. We see this in Romans chapter 1. And so the Bible says the Lord turns them over to their debased minds. I preached on Sodom and Gomorrah last week. It's perversion. It's the wrong version. So now we also have a perverted gospel that says there is no power, there is no miracles, there is no life change, there is no altar calls, there is no am I preaching truth? There is no repentance, there is no hell. It's all universalism. It's all lovey-lovey, Care Bear rainbows, and all of these things. And that is a perverted gospel. And we tell people, you don't have to die anymore to yourself. You don't have to pick up your cross. You don't have to deny yourself. You don't have to surrender everything. But the gospel will not change just because a good-looking, slick-haired back, tight jeans-wearing pastor says it is. The gospel still calls men to die to themselves. Guys, I've been preaching that for 13 years. People said, oh, you're going to get soft. They told me this in the beginning. You're going to stop preaching so hard on sin. You're going to stop preaching so hard on this. And some of the guys that told me that, guess what? Are not even in ministry anymore. They've cheated on their wives. They've gotten into scandals. They've fallen into sexual immorality. And I'm here 13 years later still saying, we got to give everything. We got to live holy. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. We need tongues. We need miracles. And then they label me, oh, he's a hyper-charismatic. Call me whatever you want. Call me a hyper-charismatic. I don't mind. Because you know what? When your family members get sick, they don't go to you. They call me. When your family members are demonized, they don't go to you. They come to our deliverance map. So you could, Isaiah's a hyper-charismatic all you want. Well, you're hyper-lukewarm. You're hyper-carnal. You're hyper-nothing spiritual. You're hyper-don't believe the Bible. You know, they always use that, like, they're hyper-charismatic, as if that's, like, bad, right? And I know what they're trying to say. We don't want to be all weird and, I get it. I'm not weird in you who like that. If you watch me, you know I'm biblical. I've already given you, like, five verses. I got a bunch more to give you. But the whole thing is, we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need the power. I'm not ashamed of being charismatic. Why has that become a cuss word? You should be ashamed that you don't believe in the charismata, the grace gifts. You should be ashamed that you're not a charismatic. You don't believe in the full Bible. So let them label you all they want. The word of God is what we're following here. The word of God is what has power. If it's in the scripture, I believe the scripture. So they can call us crazy all they want, but you know what? Guess who's doing missions? Hypercharismatics. Guess who's evangelizing? Hypercharismatics. Guess who's praying for the sick? Hypercharismatics. Guess who's preaching repent? Hypercharismatics. Oh, guess who's reaching millions of people? Hypercharismatics. Maybe people are tired of hearing about what God isn't doing. Maybe people are tired of your boring, watered-down, perverted gospel where nobody gets changed, nobody gets delivered, nobody gets healed. We just sit around all day with our theology books. We sit around all day with our intellectualism. We sit around all day with our apologetics, but no one's making disciples. Come to my apologetics conference. I don't want to go. I want to make disciples. I want to see lives change. What is it going to do, me and you arguing and debating all day about this doctrine, about that doctrine, when people are actually dying and going to hell, or we're debating about the same doctrine over and over and over and over and over again? Why don't you debate so-and-so? Because I don't want to. I'm trying to teach. I'm trying to train. I don't have time. I'm trying to equip people. I want to see people saved, healed, and delivered. Me and you debating over and over and over again while souls die. Souls are dying. People are dying. And the word of God is what we stand by. The word of God is what we believe. And if it says it there, that settles it. It's powerful. The Lord's going to bring conviction. The Lord's going to bring us out of bondage. We cannot settle for the compromise of the enemy. The devil always wants to compromise. In fact, the story I'm talking about today, one of the greatest deliverance in the Old Testament, was when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. This was the greatest deliverance we see in Scripture, of him bringing them out. But what most people don't know, now Egypt is an archetype for the world, okay? It's an archetype for darkness. It's an archetype for your unsaved life. So when we say Egypt, you can think of God bringing you out of your past life. So Jesus was an archetype of Moses, because Jesus brings us out of sin. He brings us out of bondage. He brings us out of slavery. He brings us out of Egypt. So today when we talk about Moses and we look at the Old Testament, which I've been in for about the last month, Moses brings the people out. Jesus is the greatest deliverer. Moses, greatest in the Old Testament deliverer, Jesus in the New Testament. Moses brought the people out of bondage. Jesus brought the bondage out of the people, because the bondage was in people. They were called demons, and Jesus brings the demons out of us. But in the Old Testament, they were literally in bondage. They were literally slaves. Some of you tonight, you are a slave to your own sin. You are a slave to your own bondage. You are a slave to your own desires. And I'm going to show you that, and I'm going to show you how God wants to bring you out. Some of you are in denial. You can be in denial all you want, but there's still chains around your wrist. There's still bondage. There's still things that you have to do. Like, I could get, you know, every act is like, I could stop at any time. No, you can't. You can't stop. You can't stop with the pornography. You've already tried. You already know you can't stop. How many times have you tried to stop watching porn? How many times, am I preaching, guys? Let me know in the chat. How many times have you stopped trying to drink? How many times did you say, I'll stop sleeping around? Me and my girlfriend will stop sleeping together. Me and my boyfriend will stop. I know we live together. We're going to stop. We're going to stop. Over and over, yet you keep going back to the vomit, to the bondage, because you're in chains. The devil lengthens your chains so you think you're free, but after a couple weeks or a couple months, you go back because there's bondage. But the Lord wants to bring you out tonight. The Lord wants to break the chains. Anytime the Lord breaks chains, brings you out, the devil will try to get you to compromise. God says, I want you to come fully out. The devil says, you don't have to go all the way out. You don't have to fully break up with that guy. You don't have to fully break up with that girl. You don't have to give it up all the way. You don't have to surrender everything. We've been seeing this for a month of me preaching this. He wants you to, you don't have to kill Agag. Leave King Agag. What did I preach about a month, 3 weeks ago? The fruit, it's not a big deal. God doesn't mind. He just knows you'll be like him. Eat the fruit. Don't kill King Agag. it's totally fine lot to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. Every sermon I've been preaching is about this. Compromise. Compromise. This is what is plaguing the American church. Guys, we have a disease named compromise. We compromise. And actually, when God brought the people to Egypt, God actually is the one that brought the children of Israel to Egypt. If you didn't know that, God brought them to Egypt to feed them through Joseph. He brought his brothers to Egypt where Joseph was. And remember, they were called to Egypt. The problem is when you stay somewhere too long that God has called you to, if you stay too long, you'll become a prisoner or in bondage to the place that God has called you to. Because God called them there, but God didn't stay there forever. Now they're there for too long, and now they become slaves in the very place God called them. And there are some of you right now in ministries and places and jobs and relationships that God called you to, but you didn't leave when God said to leave, and now you're a slave to the very place that God called you. The children of Israel originally got brought to Egypt by God, but they overdid their stay. They didn't listen to God when God said leave. They didn't obey the voice of God. They didn't hear the voice of God, and they became in bondage in the very place that God called them to originally. So the Lord, and I'm not going to go into the plagues because that's not what tonight is about, but the Lord says, I'm going to deliver my people. How many of you know in the chat, when God wants to get something done, God's going to get something done. When God wants to set you free, no Pharaoh, no devil, no Satan, and Pharaoh can be an archetype for Satan, cannot hold you when God wants to break you out. God is a supernatural God, and we see Pharaoh's magicians. They're doing magic. Moses and Aaron, they would do things, then Pharaoh's magicians would do things. So there is some power. The devil has some power to pervert, manipulate, and do things and hold people in bondage. But when the Lord decides this one's getting free, there's nothing the devil can do to stop it. When God said, okay, January 12th, 2011, Isaiah's getting broken free, ain't nothing the devil can do to stop that. The devil could do everything he wanted, shoot every missile at me, shoot every fiery dart at me, but Satan, you ain't having this one. When God decides it's his time to set this person free, there's nothing Satan can do. I do not care how far off your family is. Come on, share this video. I don't care how broken they are. I don't care how lost you think they are. I don't care how hurting you think they are. When the Lord decides this one's getting free, they're gonna get free. When the Lord decides they're getting delivered from that addiction, they are getting delivered. God will have the final say. So now Pharaoh's getting fed up, just to catch up to speed, with the plagues. He's getting fed up with all the stuff that Moses and them are doing to him because he won't let the people go. So Pharaoh actually starts giving them four compromises. They're actually, most people don't know this. He said, okay, I'm tired of these plagues. I'm tired of the death. I'm tired of the frogs. I'm tired of the locusts. I'm tired of the blood, watery blood, all the bloody water, all of that. He said, I'm gonna give you four compromises. He said, the first thing is Moses, okay, you can go. You can go. This is the devil speaking. You can go worship the Lord. Because Moses said, we want to be able to worship our God. And they weren't allowed to worship in Egypt. So he said, you can go and worship your God, but make sure you do it here in Egypt. So you're free to worship. This is the compromise number one. If you don't know what compromise means to accept a standard that is lower than that is desirable. So God said, here's what I desire for you. Let me just give you an easy way to describe. God says, I desire you to be free. I desire you to be cleansed. I desire you to be whole. I desire you to be in no bondage, no addiction, nothing like that. Compromise says, I'll accept a standard lower than that which God has called me to. So compromise is you settling for less than God's best. You settling. And some of you right now, you are in compromise because you're settling. God says, give me everything. You say, I'm going to give you half of that. You're settling for something less than God has for you, and you're not getting the fullness of God because you're settling. That's compromise. So Moses said, or Pharaoh said, you can worship, but do it here. In other words, the devil comes and says, worship, but make sure you stay in the world. See, the devil doesn't mind us worshiping. Pharaoh doesn't mind us worshiping as long as we're still in the world when we're worshiping. As long as you never break out of the world, as long as you never break free from sin. So number one, Moses says, Pharaoh says, worship, but do it here in Egypt. And Moses says, nope, not settling. So then his second compromise, okay. Here's my second compromise to you. You could go, you can leave Egypt, but don't go too far. In other words, you can leave the bondage, but don't go too far in that whole God thing. Don't go too radical. Anybody ever heard that compromise before of the devil? Pharaoh said, you can go, but don't go too far. See, you have family that are in bondage, and they say, we don't mind you be a Christian, but just don't go too far in that whole God thing. Don't go too far in that whole Christian thing. Third compromise was, you can go, and I'm just touching on this to get you to the story we're going to. You can go, but you need to leave the woman and the children. Don't bring your kids out. Keep your kids in bondage. Keep your kids in addiction. You can go by yourself, but you're not taking your family with you. This is another compromise. The devil says, mom, you can be a Christian, but don't put it on your husband. Mom, you can be a Christian, but don't put it on your kids. So the devil actually not even fight you. He'll allow you to serve the Lord as long as you compromise and you're not trying to witness to your family. Am I preaching, guys? I see you in the chat. As long as you're not trying to witness to your husband. As long as you're, just go by yourself, leave the women and leave the children here in Egypt. And then finally Moses says no, and then he says, okay. Last compromise, how about this? Go, but leave the animals. What do the animals represent? Don't sacrifice. We want you to leave, but we don't want you to sacrifice anything. This is what the devil's saying. Be a Christian, serve the Lord, but I don't want you to actually live a sacrifice life. I'm fine, the devil's fine with you leaving Egypt. He's fine with you leaving your old life. He's fine with you leaving the bondage as long as there's no sacrifice in my life, as long as there's no commitment in my life. But Moses decides what you need to decide. We're going. We're going to worship where we want to worship. We're going to go as far as we want to go. We're taking the woman and children, and we are going to sacrifice to the Lord. You need to decide tonight that you are coming out of that bondage. You need to decide, I'm bringing my family out. I'm bringing my mom out. I'm bringing my dad out. Satan, get your hands off my family. Get your hands off my ministry. Get your hands off my city. Get your hands off my marriage. Get your hands off of every single one of my kids. All of my kids are coming out of Egypt. All of my kids will be saved. All of my kids will be delivered. All of my kids will be healed. I am not settling. Stop settling for just you being saved. Stop settling for just your husband being saved. I am praying and I am believing till my entire family is saved. Till all of my siblings, all of my relatives, they're all serving the Lord. So we can't just pray these little weak prayers. We need to say, Pharaoh, we're coming out. Devil, remember, Pharaoh's an archetype of the devil. Moses is an archetype of Jesus. We're coming out. We're taking everybody with us. Get your hands off. And we're going to sacrifice. Satan, don't even mess with my finances, because I'm going to use my finances to sacrifice. I'm going to lay stuff down. I'm going to give things up. I'm going to use my own body as a sacrifice. I'm going to lay my body on the altar of Romans 12, the altar of living sacrifice. I'm coming out. So now, I'm giving you guys the intro, the 32-minute intro. Now, Pharaoh finally decides to let the people go. So I have too much to read, so I'm just going to read one segment here of the book of Exodus, but later you can go through this. I'll give you verses as we go, but our main message is out of Exodus 13 and 14, but I'm going to read you a little portion here of Exodus 13, starting in verse 17. It says, and then finally Pharaoh let the people go. But here's the thing. The Bible says God did not lead them through the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though it was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with battle, they will change their minds and return to Egypt. Remember, Egypt is a sense of our old life. Egypt is an archetype of the sin God brings you out of, the bondage God brings you out of. So God says, they'll change their minds and return to Egypt. So God, look at this, led them in the long way. So let me read it again. So God led them in the roundabout way through the wilderness to the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made sons of Israel swear to do this. He said, God will certainly come to help you. When he does, you must take my bones from this place. The Lord went ahead of them and guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud and provided light with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or night, and the Lord did not remove the cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. It's Exodus 13. So the Bible says this, and I'm just going to preach some of this, and I have a lot more verses I'll give you as we go, but it's Exodus 13 and 14 is where I'm preaching out of mostly. It's just too much to all read. But the Bible says Pharaoh finally let the people go. Here's what you need to know. The devil is not going to let your family go without a fight. The devil is not going to let your friends go without a fight. Some of you tonight are fighting. The devil has had you so bound, bound in depression, bound in anxiety, bound in addiction. You've been serving him. You've been worshiping him. You were his puppet. You were his slave. And now the Lord has come to set you free. And you think, it's all good. I'm free. I'm delivered. But you better believe that the enemy is going to continue to fight for you, especially if you're influential. If you are influential in the kingdom of darkness, there's going to be an increased fight because the devil does not let people go easily. The devil does not let people go without a fight. This is why you have to get fight in you. This is why you have to be determined to leave Egypt. You cannot let your compromise keep you bound. You cannot allow your addiction to keep you bound. You cannot allow your anger, your jealousy, your bitterness keep you bound. You must decide, it's time, Pharaoh, to let me go. Enough is enough. I'm leaving Egypt, whether you like it or not. I have God on my side now. And the second you decide to leave Egypt, does anybody testify this? The second you decide to serve the Lord, all of a sudden, that girl calls you. You know what's crazy, guys? I think I've shared this before. The moment I got saved and started serving the Lord, girls that I used to try to, let's just say, get at, for lack of a better term, when I wasn't saved, that wanted nothing to do with me, didn't give me the time of day, the moment I got saved, those girls are calling, those girls are messaging me. The moment I got saved, the old friends wanting to hang out, some of my old friends didn't even like me. And then I get saved, now they want to call me. Why? The devils and the demonic spirits that are in those people are using them to try to bring you back to Egypt. You got to understand this, okay? The devil has a network of demons. All of these demons communicate. All of these demons work together. If the devil wants to attack you and you're delivered, you've been called out of Egypt, you just get saved, the demons in the people around you are going to use the people around you to do what they want to do to try to bring you back to Egypt. That is why all of a sudden your drug dealer's calling, all of a sudden the ex-girlfriend, you're thinking, my ex-girlfriend didn't want nothing to do with me. Now that I'm in church, she's calling me. Now that I'm in church, my ex-boyfriend's calling me. Now that I'm in church, that old friend, that old family member, now they want to go party. Why? Because the devil's not going to let you go without a fight. This is what Pharaoh did. He said, I'm not letting them go without a fight. Just know, Pharaoh is going to make every effort possible to keep you in Egypt. The devil's going to make every effort possible to keep you bound, to keep you serving him. And you have to say, how long am I going to sit back and let the devil just enslave me? How long am I going to sit back until I have eyes to see the plans of the enemy? The enemy is scheming. Someone said, this is happening to me right now. Yeah, the enemy's planning. But when you get that text message, that call late at night, you got to go, this is the plan of the devil. This is a scheme of the enemy. This is the devil trying to get me back. This is the devil trying to reel me back in. This is the devil trying to lure me back. And I had this happen over and over again. One time with my ex-girlfriend, right when I got saved, and I was supposed to go. I've maybe shared this story with some of you, but I was basically just got saved. And a few nights later, I was supposed to go because I pretty much halfway lived with her. I won't say where, but in another city. And I was going to go stay with her, stay the night, and all that stuff that I used to do. And her mom said, hey, can you drive her over there? It was a few hours away, and can you stay the night and make sure this, this, and this? So I was just saved, and I was at her house. Her mom had asked me. I committed to it, and I was going to go stay the night and go down to where she was. And the Lord told me, if you go stay the night, Isaiah, with her, you will give in to temptation, and you will lose your calling. God literally told me that. He said, you'll go back to Egypt. You'll go back to bondage. You'll lose your calling. You'll lose your assignment. And I prayed, Lord, how am I going to avoid this? So we were about to leave. We're literally about to leave to go to this place. Her parents were gone and we were going to drive to this place. And I prayed, Lord, you have to stop this. Because I couldn't say no to her parents. I felt so obligated to take her. But I knew if I stayed the night, this is 13 years ago, a couple days after I got saved, I knew that it was over. I was going back to the world. I was going to end up fornicating. I was going to end up going back. I just knew it. The Lord told me, I knew it. And I said, Lord, keep me from going back. Keep me from going to her house. Somehow, Lord, you have to do something. So we're about to leave. It's getting late at night. I had to drive her for college to this place at night. And I said, Lord, you have to do something. I kid you not. You guys don't have to believe me when I say this. The Lord hid her car keys. I kid you not. He hid her car keys. So we spent maybe 2 hours looking for her car keys. And I prayed that I wasn't going to find them. But you know what I knew? I knew the Lord had hid her car keys. I did know. I knew it. I knew it immediately. I was like, the Lord did this. She's never lost her car keys like this. They were right here. There's no way. So we search. This is all supernatural. We searched for almost 2 hours. It was like almost 8 p.m. at the time. I think we were supposed to leave at 6 if I remember correctly. Almost 2 hours went by. Her mom called and said, what are you guys doing? You guys haven't left. We're like, we can't find the car keys. It's 8 at night. We've been looking for the car keys. Her mom said, well, now it's too late for you guys to go. And I just stay. She told her name. I don't want to say her name, but just stay home and just tell Isaiah he could just go home because I don't want you guys driving that late. We hung the phone up with her mom. We were in her computer room. This is a true story. We hang the phone up, walk through the kitchen, and her car keys were sitting right on the couch. Clear as day, there was like a little ottoman. I'll never forget this. The car keys were right there on the couch. And she was like, I cannot believe this. They were right here. There's no way. I mean, I knew it was the Lord. I knew the Lord had hid those car keys, or an angel or somebody had hid those car keys to protect my calling. But she didn't know. She was just like, there's no way. So there was her car keys. It was already too late to drive. And it was the next day that I ended up breaking up with her because the Lord said, if you stay with this girl, you'll forfeit your calling. You'll end up going back to living with her, going back to fornication, going back to all the sinful things you were doing with her. And I broke up with her that next day. And even when she called me on the phone, the Lord said, don't answer. If you hear her voice, you're going to go right. Because I was with her for 4 years. The Lord said, if you hear her voice, she's going to lull you back in. She's going to literally get you to come over. You guys are going to talk it out. You're going to end up making up and doing other stuff that we shouldn't be doing. And the Lord said, don't even answer. And guys, I did what you're not supposed to do. I broke up with her. That was the last time I ever saw her. 4 years we were dating. We were supposed to get married. I broke up with her over a text message, and I've never talked to her since, ever again. And I know that sounds terrible, but the Lord said, Isaiah, this is your calling at stake. This is Pharaoh trying to get you back. The moment you say yes, I can name story after story where the Lord protected me, where the Lord spared me from not going back to my old friends, not going back to my old relationships, not going back to girls I was doing stuff I shouldn't have been doing with, even when I was in a relationship, just doing terrible stuff. The Lord kept protecting me. And even as simple as God hiding the car keys. And to this day, I know that if I would have went and stayed the night with her there at her house or at her apartment at college, I would not be standing here right now with you. I would have been back in the world, probably would have been a police officer, probably would have not served God anymore. I would have opened the door to sin. I would have went right back to that lifestyle. You have to get to a place where you say, Lord, I want to be free. I want to be delivered. I don't want to go back. Now, here's what's crazy. The Bible said God, and this is going to help some of you and speak to some of you. And man, these sermons I've been doing for the last month have been going so long, but oh well. This is what the Bible says. God did not lead them through the main road, the short route, which led through Philistine territory, because if they faced battle, they would have changed their minds and returned to Egypt. So instead, God led them through the long way, through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. This is what we call the process. God will usually show you the promise, which is the promised land, but not show you the process. And all of us are like, I want that what God has, but God doesn't show you the sleepless nights you're gonna have. God doesn't show you all the people that are gonna backbite you and backstab you and lie about you and cheat about you and do this to you and all the people that are gonna betray you and all the drama and all the sacrifice and all the warfare and all the hatred. God will show you, but God has to take you through the process for a reason. There's a reason for the sleepless nights. Come on, somebody. There's a reason for the tough times. Because if it wasn't for the roundabout way, if it wasn't for the long way, I wouldn't be able to handle the promise. All the stuff God has done for me, all the trials that I've been through, I didn't realize that every time someone talked bad about me and I humbled myself, I was building character. Every time someone in the family backstabbed me or talked about me or did this to me, I was building character. There's a process that the potter has to take the clay through, a process of molding, a process of breaking. Come on, how many of you are on the long road right now? Man, this is taking a long time. God, you said, God told me the night I got saved, God showed me reaching millions of people, showed me on stages before thousands. God said, you're going to reach millions. And 13 years later, I'm seeing that. But it took 13 years to reach all the people God told me I was going to reach. 13 years of process, 13 years of God breaking me and molding me and bending me and shaking me and on the Potter's Wheel. Oh, Isaiah, I got to remold you. Oh, there's a flaw in your character here. Oh, there's something wrong here, Isaiah. Off the Potter's Wheel, on the Potter's Wheel, in the fire. We're like, we love fire. Guys, fire is painful. Fire refines the gold, and the impurities come to the top, and then they scrape the gold, put the gold back in the fire. This is that long road that God has you on. This is that process of building character. You can't get there the easy way. There's troubles and trials that come, but here's what James chapter 1, verse 2 says. Brothers and sisters, when troubles come, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. James says, you know what you're going through right now? We're all going through something. I am, you are, we all are. Nobody in here is not going through something. And you know what James says? Be excited about it. When you're going through something tough in life, consider it an opportunity for great joy. I'm so excited I lost my job. I'm so happy. I'm so glad that I got diagnosed with an incurable disease. I'm so happy that my home is being foreclosed on. Honey, praise the Lord. What are you excited about? Our home's getting foreclosed on. Aren't you excited? Aren't you excited, honey, that I just got laid off from my job? Honey, aren't you excited that my boss hates me? It's a beautiful thing. It's amazing. Praise the Lord. I have great joy. Yes, I broke my back. Praise the Lord. I twisted and broke my, shattered my ankle. Praise the Lord. It's great. I have great joy. My old best friend stabbed me in the back. Praise the Lord. Some hacker got into my account and drained all my stocks, drained all my bank account. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's celebrate tonight. Let's celebrate getting our bank account hacked and losing all our money by doing a worship night. And everyone's like, what are you saying? That's so stupid to say. Yet James says, when you're going through trials and troubles, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Why? Because your faith is being tested. Your faith, God says, all right, how far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? Are you willing to go the long way? Are you willing to go the roundabout way? Are you willing for it not to be shortcuts? Are you willing for it not to be easy? Come on, who's saying I'm going through something hard? God says, okay, let your faith be tested. 1 Peter 4:12. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials that come. They come to test you. Don't act like something strange is happening to you. But it says rejoice and participate in the sufferings of Christ. What? James is like, Peter's like, why are you shocked when trials and hardships come? These are the sufferings of Christ. These are a good thing. Romans 5:3, rejoice when we run into trials and problems, for we know that it helps us develop endurance. So I've already given you James 1:2, 1 Peter 4:12, and Romans 5:3. All of them say, be excited about problems and trials because it strengthens your character. It builds character. It builds endurance. The Lord said, I am taking them the long way. Here's why. If I take them the short way, they're going to fight battles they're not ready to fight, and they're going to give up and go back to Egypt. That is so relevant. For all you that are like, you can't just preach this like this. That's out of context. That's not what it's saying. How relevant is this? God says, I'm putting you on. And some of you, your life is starting to make sense right now. It's all making sense. Why this is taking me forever to get where I'm at. It's all making sense. The Lord's had me on the roundabout way. The Lord's had me on the long road. How many of you, type one if you're on the long road. He says, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt through the long road. It's going to take longer because if I take you through the easy shortcuts, there's battles that you're not ready for. There's Philistines that you're not strong enough to fight. So you need to be patient. God says, I'm going to close that door in your life. Here's why. Some of you right now, you just got saved and you just came out of Egypt. You're not ready to be in that car alone with that girl or that guy. You're not strong enough to be around those old drug addict friends. You're not strong enough to witness and hang out with your old friends. You're not strong enough to be on that stage preaching before thousands. You're not ready. You're not ready. There's too much ego. There's too much pride. Here's what a lot of people do. They come out of Egypt. They get saved. And I hope you're hearing me because Egypt represents the world. The world represents Egypt. Moses represents Jesus. Pharaoh represents the devil. So I hope you're tracking here, okay? And then they're saved a week or two and they go, I'm going to go back to my old party, my old drug scene, and I'm not going to do drugs or drink. I'm going to witness to people because I'm on fire. And that's great. Like, yeah, you're on fire. But here's the thing. You're trying to take the short route. You're not ready. You're not strong enough because here's what usually happens. They go right back to the drugs. They're not ready. The Philistines are too strong. The world, is too strong and they go back right when times get hard. So you ought to praise God that he closed that door. I wasn't ready for that relationship with that girl. I couldn't handle it. I wasn't strong enough. If I went to her house that night, I was going to give in. I wasn't strong enough. And the Lord said, Isaiah, I'm going to take you the long way. You're not going through the shortcut. I'm going to take you the long way. Thank God you lost the job you couldn't handle. Thank God that he said no to you when you prayed for that thing that you couldn't handle. I don't know why God keeps telling me no. I'm telling you why, because you're on the long road. You're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. God is developing endurance in you. I wish I could be on a stage. I used to sit back when I first got saved thinking, I want to be on that stage. And God's like, you're not even ready for the stage. You can't even stack chairs. You complain about stacking chairs at church. You're not ready to be on a stage before thousands. You're like, pastor won't give me the mic. If you can't hold a plunger and clean the church bathroom, you're not ready to hold a microphone. If you can't do this with the vacuum, you're not ready to have a mic and prophesy before the church. Some of you, the Lord says, I got to develop character in you. There's too much ego in you. There's too much pride in you. I have guys come to me. They're like, I just don't know why God hasn't promoted me, hasn't exalted me. And they go on and on and on. And I all after 20, 30 minutes of talking to them, I know exactly why you're on the long road. Because you're not ready to face the praise that you're going to get on the stages that God wants to bring you to. You're not ready to face the criticism. So let me give you an example. I am on, obviously, a massive stage, right? I think we have like over 2 million followers and all this stuff, okay? I couldn't survive this 10 years ago. But now where I'm at in my life and where I'm at in my journey with God, I don't care about the praise. I could care less about the views. I can care less about the likes. I can care less about the comments, the shares, none of that. I don't give praise attention. So when you guys praise like, Isaiah, you're amazing, all that, thank you, amen, but I don't give it attention. It doesn't puff me up, doesn't make me, I don't feel any certain type of way. Equally, when people criticize me, I can care less. I know a lot of guys couldn't handle the criticism I get. They would crumble, they would hate it. They couldn't, people are like, how could you handle people making videos about you and saying this? And guys, I mean this so real, I don't even think about it. I don't even lose sleep over it. I don't spend 5 minutes thinking about my critics or the haters, or the guys that make hours and hours of videos about me, trying to find something to expose me about, trying to find some flaw in my theology. I don't even think about it. Like, what do you think about your haters? I don't think about them. Honestly, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm at a place where the Lord took me the long way. Some of you, like, you blew up overnight. What? Guys, I've been grinding for 13 years preaching. Those guys that make videos about me saying, Isaiah blew up overnight. I did not blow up overnight. Now, my pages grew fast. But they grew only because for the last decade, I was pastoring and preaching and traveling and giving everything to this until now the Lord said, okay, I'm giving you this real global platform, which has been the last about 5 years, okay? And it hasn't been fast the way people think it's fast. I'm still grinding. I have 1,400 live right now. I used to average 3,800. I used to average 4,000. I don't know. I don't care. I'm grinding. I'm preaching. I'm being faithful. And I'll live on the long road. I still feel like I'm on the long road. I still feel like I'm growing slow. It doesn't matter. I'm growing slower right now than I've ever grown, and I'm not even fazed by it. I'm on the long road. Maybe if I grow too fast, there's battles I'm not ready to fight. There's criticism. My point is, I could preach a whole sermon on the long road. The Lord will bring them on the long road to avoid the battles and the pitfalls. So if you're growing slow, praise the Lord. If you feel like the journey you've been on, like I just can't get through this, I just can't find the breakthrough, you might be on the long road. And let me give you, for those of you that want, what's the secret to growing? What's the secret to Christianity? What's the secret, Isaiah, to being a well-known, famous minister or whatever people call me? I don't even know because I don't even read the articles or look at half the things people say. People are like, oh, you're famous. I don't even know. I don't even care. I'm just trying to go play pickleball and hang out with my kids. Here's the thing. Here's the secret. I'm going to give it to you right now. The secret to Christianity being successful as a Christian is there is no shortcuts and there is no secrets. This is a long race. It takes patience, it takes time, it takes energy, it takes endurance, it takes tears, and it takes bloodshed. There is nothing easy. This is war. It is not easy, but I have good news for you. The one that lives in you has beat every trial you're ever gonna face. If you're facing depression, Jesus beat it. If you're facing stress, Jesus beat it. If you're facing anger, Jesus beat it. If you're facing temptation, Jesus beat it. If you're facing addiction, Jesus beat it. John 16:33, I've told you all of this that you can have peace because here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. I'm telling you right now, stop fighting the long road. Stop fighting the long route and start realizing I'm on the long way for my own good. There's a reason why God will not let me in the fast lane. There's a reason why God will not let me drive in the fast track lane. God is the one that's going to guide me. Psalms 32:8 says the Lord will guide you along the best pathway for your life. He will advise you. He will watch over you. Isaiah 30:21 says your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way that you should go, whether left or right. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord and don't rely on your understanding. Seek him and he'll show you which path to take. Guys, our God is a leading God. He's a guiding God. He's a God that knows the best path for you. And if it's the long road, it's the long road. If it's the fast road, and some of you, God's going to put you on the fast track because he knows you're going to be able to handle the Philistines in the fast track. But for the children of Israel, God said, I'm going to bring them in the wilderness. Some of you think they went to the wilderness because they were in disobedience. No, God brought them into the wilderness, not to live there, which they ended up living and dying there. But the wilderness is never a place to live and die. It's a place to pass through. The wilderness that God brought them through, this is the place where God weans you off of emotions. I'm helping somebody tonight. If you're not being blessed by this, I'm blessing myself. The wilderness is a place where God isolates you. When I got saved, I left Egypt. God brought me in the long road through the wilderness, just like them. I lost all my friends. I felt alone. I felt separated. I felt like nobody understood me. I felt distant from everybody. But you know what? Welcome to the wilderness. The wilderness is where God kills the mindset that you had in Egypt. The wilderness is where God kills the mentality that you had in the world. The wilderness is where you can trust God like you never have before. The wilderness is where you can believe like never before. This is where the devil comes to tempt you. This is where the devil comes to say you're not who God said you are. This is where the devil tempted Jesus and said, make this stone bread. This is where the devil said, bow down to me. This is where the devil told Jesus, jump off the temple. But if you can handle the wilderness, hear me tonight, you can handle the promise. If you can handle the wilderness, you can handle the promise. You can handle the promised land. And you know what? I'm starting to enjoy the wilderness seasons. They might be rough. They might get tiring. They might be frustrating, but it's where God is. Here's the beauty of God. He's there in the promise and he's there in the wilderness. He says, I'm going to take you through the roughest times you've ever been through, but don't be worried because I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you joy. And how many of you are coming out of the wilderness? Praise the Lord. Some of you right now, and I'm not trying to prophesy this over you. This is the God honest truth. Some of you are entering the wilderness as I speak. Some of you are in the middle of the wilderness as I speak. And some of you are exiting the wilderness right now. And praise the Lord, because the wilderness is not a place for you to live. It's a place where God is pruning, a place where God is growing, and a place where God is killing a mindset in you. But I'm not living there. I'm not living there. I'm only there for a season, but I'm coming out. I am not going to camp out. See, but the moment you camp out, the moment the wilderness becomes a place you live, that's where discouragement comes. That's where your destiny gets aborted. That's where you circle the wilderness, and that is where your destiny dies. Destinies die in the wilderness when the wilderness becomes a camp and not a season. When you start camping out in the place God says pass through, don't stay there. If you're wandering, that's okay for a season. If you're kind of confused and you don't know where to go and you've kind of lost all your friends, there's a season for that. But there's another season where you go, okay, I haven't had any friends for 6 months and I've been saved now. It's now time to get out of the wilderness. It's time to get involved in a local church. It's time to get some godly friends. It's time to get serious. It's time to get radical. I can't stay because we get comfortable in the wilderness. We get comfortable because God's there and, you know, sometimes like, oh, I kind of like being a loner a little bit. I'll be honest, guys, I'm a little bit of a loner. I like it kind of sometimes. And, you know, my wife will be like, you need to hang out this person. You need to have friends and you need to be nice to people because I'm like, I'm just fine. I have like 2-3 friends. I'm good. I don't really need that many friends. I'm just kind of cool with it. But the Lord's like, I want to bring you out and I want you to be social again. I want you to reach people again. I want you to get out there and start making friends. I want you to leave that wilderness season where you feel alone and isolated. It was great for a time. I needed that. I lost all my friends when I got saved. But then the Lord says it's time to come out of the wilderness. And as the Lord is leading, here's the beauty of when the Lord leads you and when the Lord guides you. The Bible says they had a cloud that led them in the day, and the cloud represents the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit, the cloud of God, led them during the day. It's a picture of when we come out of our old life of Egypt, now we're led by the Holy Spirit. Remember, all this Old Testament stuff is like, there's a foreshadowing. We're going to see in the New Testament, there's the same type of, of the same type of thing where they were guided by the cloud. Now we're guided by the Holy Spirit. Now that I'm out of Egypt, I want you guys to hear me. And it might sound like I'm preaching a message to new believers, but this is actually to all believers here. I am no longer guided by my lust. I am no longer guided by my addiction. I am no longer guided by my own pleasure. I am no longer guided by my friends, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my husband, my wife, Jack Daniels, Smirnoff, whatever it is you drink. I am no longer. I was guided by those things. Remember, guys, such as were some of you, lusters and fornicators and liars and thieves. But Paul says, you're not anymore. So I'm not guided by lust anymore. I literally was guided by lust before I got saved. That is what drove me. Where am I going to be able to do this? I would break up with my girlfriend for a week. Yes, Isaiah Saldivar. I would break up for a week and then go with other people and do other things. And I was like, well, it's not cheating because we're fighting. We broke up for 3 days, which of course it is cheating. But I just justified it in my mind being like, well, I'm not cheating because we're broken up for 3 days. And then I would go, I would literally leave her house and go to the party. I'd leave her house at 9 o'clock and I had a whole secret life she didn't know about. I'd go party with my friends, party this. Parents didn't know, family didn't know. I had all these different secret lives that I was juggling. And it was so exhausting and I was led by drinking. I was led by partying. I was led by pleasure. I was led by lust. And then when I got saved, I'm now led by the Holy Spirit. I'm like, who's gonna lead me? Where am I gonna go? What am I gonna do? It was the Holy Spirit. It was the cloud. He leads my desires. He tells me what to do. My sinful lust no longer tells me what to do. My lust no longer tells me where to go. My addiction no longer tells me I'm following the cloud, not the crowd. The crowd doesn't tell me where to go. So all the, you know, it's very tempting with all these YouTubers, especially Christian ones that are blowing up and taking off. I've had times where I'm like, maybe I should just make the content they make. And the Lord's like, are you following the crowd or the cloud? Could I grow to millions and millions and millions doing what they're doing? Of course, there's a formula to it. But you know what the Lord told me? Follow the cloud. Guys, if I was trying to grow and be this and be that and gain millions and millions and millions of subscribers, I would not be doing 2-hour live streams. You want to know the worst way to grow on social media? Do 2-hour live streams. But here I am, 2 hours, pouring out my heart to you guys. This is not how you get views. This is not how you grow on YouTube, but this is what the Lord's telling me to do. So from the beginning, I've had to say, I need to follow the cloud. And I will be honest, there are times where I've started to follow the crowd and I'll start to do videos because I'm like, I know this will get views. Or I'll do content where I'm like, I know this gets views. You can even ask my brother who edits and then I'm like, you know what? That's not true to me. That's not what the Holy Spirit told me to do. I got to stop following the crowd and start following the cloud. Do not follow people that you think, oh, they're successful. I'm going to do what they do. What is the Holy Spirit telling you to do? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you to do? That's what you need to follow. It might not look like the most successful. It might not look like the most powerful, but it's the most important. It's the most relevant. Following the cloud. I want to follow the cloud. Where is the cloud going today? And the cloud doesn't just lead me on Sunday. He's leading me every day. The school, the store, wherever I'm at, you need to be led by the cloud. You need to go and say, where's the cloud going? Where's the Holy Spirit at? Where's the Holy Spirit moving? Where's the cloud moving? I'm looking for the cloud. Maybe there's the cloud is showing up at a church down the road. I'm going to go be a part of that. If I hear God is moving, I want to go be a part of that. I want to be where the cloud is moving, where the Holy Spirit is moving. Follow the cloud, not the crowd. So in the day they had a cloud, at night they had fire. And we need the fire. When life gets dark, we need the fire. When you get tired, you need the fire. When you feel like giving up, when all hell breaks out against you, you need the fire of God. The Holy Spirit's presence. Remember, the Bible says he'll come and baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. That's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. I can keep moving when things get dark because I got the fire. I can move in the dark. I can pray for people in the dark. Doesn't matter how dark my life feels. Doesn't matter the darkness around me. Guys, it is going. If you live in America, anywhere in the world, it doesn't even matter at this point. We are going to face some very, very, very dark days ahead. Trust me, very dark days ahead. We need the fire of God. We need the cloud to lead us in these dark days. The wilderness isn't so bad when you have the cloud and you have the fire. And I praise God. How many of you would praise God in the chat right now saying, thank you, Lord, that you're with me in the wilderness? I'm grateful because the Lord could do this. He could say, go to the wilderness and I'll see you on the other side. He could literally drop you off in the wilderness if he wants to. I'm grateful that even in the wilderness, the Lord says, I'm going to show up in my presence with the cloud and then fire by night. I got you. I got your back. So now God is actually going to have the Egyptians, this is Exodus 14, he's going to have the Egyptians chase the children of Israel. So now he's brought them out. They didn't take the compromise. He brings them out. They go through the roundabout way. They're going through the wilderness. And the Lord says, I'm going to have the Egyptians chase the Israelites to prove to the Egyptians that I'm the true one living God. So God says, I'm going to allow things in your life. And this might sound controversial. I don't know what to tell you. Email me, okay? God says, I'm actually going to set things up in your life, and I'm going to cause things to happen in your life, and I'm going to cause enemies to come against you, and I'm going to cause things to happen to you just to prove to the people around you how powerful I am. Do you remember the story where the man was born blind and and I'm quoting it, right? This is like a quote here, a quote of what actually happened. But the disciples were like, dude, who's, and they didn't say dude, but I'm quoting it. They're like, dude, whose sin was it? Like, was it his dad's sin, his mother's sin? Like, why is this dude born blind? Like, I don't understand what, and Jesus is like, bro, it's not like that. It's no one's sin. It wasn't his mom's sin. It wasn't his dad's sin. It was so the glory of God can be revealed in him. Like all of this he's been going through. Oh, this is going to help somebody here. All of the trials you've gone through, all the things that happened to you. I don't know why this happened to you. He's like, dude, I'm setting it all up for this great crescendo, this explosion, this climax moment where the Lord's going to show up in power and it's all going to make sense, and your enemies and the haters and your family that said God wasn't real and your friends that said God wasn't real and all of that are going to know that he's a true living God. God said, I'm doing this not to show the children of Israel I'm God and powerful, but to show the Egyptians I'm powerful. What if, I'm just saying, I could be wrong. I might not be accurate on this. What if God allowed you to go through that sickness so that when you're on your deathbed, so when you're at the end of your rope, so that when your family's coming to say goodbye to you, when they said there's no hope for you, you're not going to make it, all your friends and family are there. And this literally happened to somebody I know. They were just telling me the testimony of it. All your friends and family are there. And the doctors say, all right, everybody go in there and say their goodbye. What if the Lord brings you out of that sick bed right there supernaturally? The Lord, I know somebody this happened to. She was in her old age, and I'm trying to remember, someone just told me this story. All of her family flew in to say goodbye to her, and the Lord radically healed her. She was literally dead. They were like, she's dying, she's gonna die, just say goodbye. And all her family flew in, and God brought her out of that sick bed, and it's been 10 years, and she's still alive and still fine and doing all that stuff, okay? Who knows? What if it's that? What if it's that moment that the Lord said, I'm going to allow the devil, I'm going to allow the Egyptians to chase you to prove to the devil, to the world, that I'm the true living God. God is going to use the battle and the trials you go through to prove to everyone around you he's in control and there is no other name. Lord, thank you that you're even using my trials. Even what the devil meant for bad, God says, I'm going to turn around for good. And the Bible says the Israelite, the Pharaoh's Egyptians had chariots and the children of Israel were on feet. So have you ever felt like you were outnumbered and the devil always had an advantage? Like, the devil has chariots. The Pharaoh's Egyptians had chariots and they were on feet. And they're chasing them down now. And it feels like that, like, this is impossible. There's no way I could outrun the enemy. There's no way God can make a way. And this is what happens now. Okay, here's the scene. They're running from the Egyptians. They're on foot. They're at a massive disadvantage. And if you guys are having trouble, just refresh the feed. I know YouTube's kicking people out, whatever. YouTube's lame sometimes. Get back in. Watch this. They're running on foot. The Egyptians have chariots. They're at a massive advantage. And this is what happens. The Bible says they stand in front of the water and they start complaining. Exodus 14, 10, verse 10 through 12. Look what it says. Exodus 14, 10 through 12. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. And they cried out to God and they said to Moses, why did you bring us here to die? Weren't there enough graves in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We told you to leave us alone. We told you to let us be slaves. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Isn't this exactly how we are? The moment something bad happens to us after all God has done, like, think about this. God just supernaturally brought them out of Egypt. Supernaturally brought you out of Egypt. And now The second something bad happens, we complain. The second we face a trial, we start doubting God, blaming our leader. Why did we have to go there? Why is the service so long? Why are we doing it this way? Is this all there is to Christianity? Is this all there is to God? What's the point? I'm not having fun. Friend, you know what? You know why you're not enjoying Christianity? You know why you're not getting anything out of this? You know why you're not grateful that God brought you out of Egypt? It's your attitude. It's your bad attitude. You're not getting anything out of it because you're not putting anything into it. And all you do is you recollect on your old life. And you know what's crazy? The devil will remind you. And they were complaining. We had leeks and onions and we had all this good food in Egypt. Okay, you're complaining that you had leeks and onions and good vegetables, but you're not complaining about the fact that, guys, when they were complaining in front of the water, there was still sores on their backs from when the Egyptians were whipping them and they were building pyramids. And they don't even remember that there's open sores from being whipped by the Egyptians. It's that fresh. It's that fresh that you don't even remember the scars. You don't remember the pain. Like, are you going to go back? I'm like, no, what, to my vomit? I remember. The devil will try to remind you of the pleasure without reminding you of the pain. The devil will remind you of your old life. Oh, it was so fun drinking and, you know, being out on a summer day and partying and drinking. It's like, oh yeah, what about the hangovers? What about the depression? What about the anxiety? What about the suicidal thoughts? What about when I almost took my life because a demon told me to jump off a balcony at a party? Didn't what about that? So the devil always reminds you of the pleasure. And the Bible does say there is pleasure in sin. Sin is good for but a season. But the devil doesn't remind you. And this is what we do. We need an attitude adjustment, y'all. Maybe, honestly, here's the thing. I'm trying to be nice, but let me preach. Maybe you don't need a miracle tonight. Maybe you need an attitude adjustment. Because maybe the wilderness didn't work for you. Because the point of the wilderness is to wean you off of that Egyptian mindset and get that sinful nature out of you. But obviously it's not working for some of you because they said, we told you to let us be slaves. Like, think about that. Some of you actually want to be a slave. Some of you actually fell in love with your Egyptians. Some of you actually fell in love with your demons. And you want the devil to keep telling you what to do. You know what's crazy? You're like, oh, that's not me. Okay, well, you know what's crazy is when they let out prisoners or people that have lived in jail their whole life. Do you know sometimes guys don't want to be out? They go back to jail. They're repeat offenders. They keep going back to jail. There's a phenomenon where they're so used to being told what to do. They're so used to being in bondage. They're so used to being in prison that when they get free, they're not used to making their own decisions and having freedom that they want to go back to jail. That part. They want to go back to jail. And some of you are like that. You're scared to be free because when you serve the devil, you are his slave. That's the difference. When you serve the devil, you have to do what he says. But when you serve God, it's a free will and free choice. God doesn't force you, but the devil does. When you're under the power of the devil, he forces you. Drink this. You don't have a choice. Smoke this. You don't have a choice. Stop acting like you had a choice. Your sin nature drove you, controlled you. I had no choice but to do those things with those girls and to go and do those parties. I could have acted like I had a choice, like I don't have to do it, but I kept doing it. I couldn't stop myself. I couldn't stop myself because I was a slave. The devil makes you a slave, but God gives you a choice. God says, okay, you don't have to serve me. But the devil says, I'm your master. I'm in keeping you bondage. So they actually wanted to be a slave. They actually wanted, and it's scary when you get in that place. So now all of a sudden, this is what Moses says. And this is a word for some of you. And this is not my word. I'm not hyping me up. I'm not gassing me up being like, I'm preaching so good tonight. This is a word from the Bible to some of you. So now they're freaked out. They're in front of the water. The Philistines are coming. I'm sorry, not the Philistines. The Egyptians are coming. They've avoided the Philistine territory. The enemy's all around. The Egyptians are coming. They're overtaking them, the Bible says. And this is what Moses says. You ready? This is going to help some of you that are in this season right now where you're panicking, freaking out, like, ah, I just want to go back. Verse 13 of Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14, 13. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Think about that. You're about to die. You can literally see the Egyptians. There's dust everywhere because their chariot wheels are coming. The strongest men that the Egyptians had are coming to kill you and bring you back to bondage. And then Moses goes, all right, guys, I got a word. Don't be afraid. Like, Moses, what are you even saying? What do you mean, don't be afraid? That's all we are, is afraid. But then he says this, it gets worse. It gets worse. This is what he says, right? Okay, so Moses says, don't be afraid. So he must have some awesome plan. Isaiah, you must have something great to tell me because I am afraid. I'm dealing with cancer. I'm dealing with addiction. I'm here tonight. The devil's overwhelming me. He's overtaking me. And you're telling me, don't be afraid. But it gets better because this is what Moses says. This is almost comical, guys. This is how powerful God is for Moses to be able to say this. Then he says this. Just stand still. All right? Listen to this. They're up against the water. The Egyptians are chasing them on chariots, and they're stopped against the water. What would somebody smart say? Run. Run. Be afraid and run. Let's all run from the Egyptians. That's natural. But Moses says this. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. And then he says this, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong. I feel like running. I wish we were in a church building right now because I'd be screaming, running, jumping, probably attempt to do a backflip, land on my neck and break it. I don't even know. But he says this, and this is a word for you. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. And then he's, oh, I love this. Next sentence. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Verse 14. The Lord himself is going to fight for you. Just stay calm. That's Exodus 14, 13. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 through verse 14. You better highlight that. You better run. You better mark it. You better shout. You better say amen. The trial, the addiction, the enemy, the demon, the thing that you're dealing with today, the Egyptians represent that old bondage coming after you, that old addiction, that old trial. The thing you see today, ladies and gentlemen, you will never see again. Why? Because the Lord himself will fight. Stay calm. In a culture right now that says, go, 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 stop trying, go, go, work hard, Moses says, stand still. The answer is this. It's time for you. This is what he was saying. It's time for you to give up, quit trying to do it yourself. You can't handle it. You can't fight yourself. Let God step in, stand still, and let God be God. Why? Because the thing you see today, the addiction you're dealing with tonight, the depression you're dealing with, the sickness, the fear, the anxiety, God is going to completely wipe these guys out. You will never see these Egyptians again. You will never fight that again. Isaiah, I'm going to deliver you. When God delivered me, and I boast in Christ. I boast in Christ right now. You guys know my testimony. Every other word almost was a cuss word before I was saved. At least every sentence. I have the dirtiest mouth ever, ever. I was perverted. My mind was dirty. My mouth was dirty. I was filthy. I was nasty. I was addicted to pornography. All of that. All of that. And I'll tell you right now, the night I got saved, to this day, 13 years later, I have not gone back to pornography. I've not gone back to lust. I have not even slipped saying a cuss word, not even thought about it. If I stub my toe, it doesn't even enter my mind. In 13 years, not one foul word like that, not one foul curse word has come out of my mouth at any moment in 13 years. Why? Because Isaiah, the Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The thing that you're dealing with today, God says, I am not just going to change some things about you. I am going to wipe out the old you. I am going to kill the old you, and I am going to make you a new person. I don't ever want to see it again. I don't ever want to experience, not one, Alex, not one. I don't ever want to experience it again. I am telling you, now I'm not saying you're condemned if that's not you or your story. I'm telling you the power that God has. God has the power to completely wipe out what you're going through. Remove the desire to smoke. Remove the desire to drink. Remove the desire to party. Remove the desire to live in that addiction. God says, I have the power to completely wipe things. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. And they're standing there and they're crying out to God. And then the Lord says this. And this is another word for somebody. The Lord says this in Exodus 14, 15. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? They're praying. Lord, help. God, help me in this situation. God, save my cousin. God, save my mom. God, do something. The Lord says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. In other words, stop praying and get moving. There's a time for prayer and a time for action. But right now, he says, it's not the time to stop and cry out and pray. Now's the time for me to answer your prayer. Now's the time for action. Some of us are praying for God to do what he's already told us to do. God says, I've already told you to go share with that person. I've already told you to go. You don't need to keep saying, Lord, provide for that homeless person on the corner. God says, you do it. Stop praying for that. Stop asking. The Lord says, you go do it now. Get up and start moving. It's time to leave the upper room. Don't. And guys, I love prayer more than all y'all. Okay, we have prayer calls all year. I've been focusing on prayer. I love prayer. I would love to just never preach again and just pray only. I could do prayer 24/7. I love it. Ask the people that are in the prayer call. I love prayer. I can't say enough good things about prayer. There's a time for prayer and there's a time for action. Don't use prayer as an excuse to not move into what God's called you to move into. Let me give you an example. God, I just pray that you just reach my mom, just reach your Lord, touch your changer. You should pray that. You should pray that. But you shouldn't pray that and then never open up your mouth about God to her and never witness to her and never evangelize to her. You just, Lord, I pray. So now we use prayer as an excuse to not have action. So we need prayer and action. And some of you, you don't even need to pray about, should I witness to them? Yes. We don't need to pray about whether we should pray to, like, hey, will you pray for me? Well, let me pray about whether I should pray for you. You don't need to pray about that. I don't know if I need to pray about whether I should go make disciples. No, you don't need to pray about it. You should go make disciples because the Bible tells us to. So sometimes we use prayer as an excuse to not do what God's called us to do. So then the Lord says, raise your staff and divide the water. When God tells you to do something, there's no time to argue with him. If he says to do something impossible, it's time for action. Moses had to raise his staff over the Red Sea. And the Bible says God divided the water and the Israelites were able to walk on dry ground. I'm telling you, some of the things that God is going to tell you to do, they're going to sound normal. They're going to sound rational. There's nothing fancy about a staff. The staff represents insignificance. It represents normal. It represents nothing supernatural. But God says, I can use what's normal to you. If you have a gift, if you have a talent, if you have an ability, the staff representing being a shepherd represents normal. God says, I will use your staff. I will use you. Doesn't matter. If God can speak through a donkey in the Bible, how come God can't speak through you? If God can use a rooster to call Peter to repentance, what is stopping you from preaching? God can use it. God can use you. God can use a staff. The Bible says the angel moved to their back. Why? Because God always has your back. God has your back. God is fighting for you, and God caused confusion in the enemy's camp. God will confuse your enemies. The Bible says in Exodus 14, 23, and I'm skipping some stuff for the sake of time because I've already been preaching for an hour and a half here, but it says in Exodus 14, 23, then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his charioteers, chased them into the middle of the ocean. But just before the dawn, the Lord took down the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw them into total confusion. He twisted their chariot. God did this. You don't have to fight these battles. God did this. Verse 25. He twisted their chariot wheels, making them difficult to drive. Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites, the Egyptians shouted. The Lord, this is what the Egyptians said. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. The Egyptians were confused and they realized, and this is what the devil's gonna realize tonight. You're not fighting us, you're fighting God. When the devil comes against you, you fight with the authority of God. It is not the devil fighting you. It's the devil coming against God when he comes against you, because you have the authority of Christ. You have the power of the Holy Spirit, and it confuses the devil. It confuses the demons. Like, wait, we don't know why you're not addicted. We're confused. You don't party anymore. You're not addicted anymore. You don't drink anymore. The devil's confused when you don't do those old things. The Lord's able to confuse the camps of the enemy to where now the Egyptians said, let's leave. Imagine you get to a place where the demons are like, we don't even want to be around you. Let's leave. The devil realizes, that's why the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. It gets to a place where the devil says, I don't even want to be around you. I don't even want to know you. I don't even want to attack you, because every time I do, I have to end up fighting God. I have to end up fighting the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to do that. Exodus 14:29. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. Tonight, some of you are going to walk on dry ground. Some of you in the middle of your pain, you've been fighting, you've been struggling, you've been stuck where you're at, you've been hit like a wall. Like the children of Israel, you've hit a wall. You're just up against a wall. Tonight, God says, I'm going to split the Red Sea, and some of you are going to walk on dry ground. Whatever barrier, whatever dryness, whatever it is, maybe you're in here addicted. Maybe you're in here afflicted by the Egyptians, but you're going to walk out dry. And you know, the Bible uses baptism as that crossing the Red Sea and the Lord drowning. When you go into baptism and you go down in that water, the Bible likens it to when they went through the Red Sea and God drowned the Egyptians. That old Egyptian in you, that old man in you, God says, I'm going to drown that old man. I'm going to drown that Egyptian. God's going to open it up and God's going to bring breakthrough. And if he's done it once, he'll do it again. And here's what Exodus 14:31 says. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord unleashed upon the Egyptians, they were full of awe and they put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. This is what the Lord wants to do. He wants you to walk on dry ground. He wants to deliver you from the hand of Pharaoh. He wants you to get free and to get delivered completely from everything that's plaguing you, everything that's bothering you. The Lord says, what you're fighting today, you'll never see again. Father, we ask you right now, this is the most important part, guys. There's 1,800 of you on here. We ask you right now, Lord, in the same way that you delivered the Israelites, in the same way you opened the Red Sea, God, in the same way you drowned the Egyptians, I pray, God, that you would drown that old man right now. I pray, God, that that old nature, that old man, that old desire, that sinful carnal man, that perversion, God, I pray that you would drown those Egyptians in our life. And the same way the Bible says baptism is like the children of Israel going through the Red Sea and those Egyptians drowning, I pray, Lord, right now that you would drown every ungodly thing in our life. And I pray for mass deliverance right now. I pray for mass freedom right now. I thank you, Lord, that you have us on the long road. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't take us through the shortcuts, but that, Lord, you are guiding us. You are guarding us. You are protecting us. That you're breaking discouragement. Some of you are discouraged because you're on the long road. And maybe your platform is not growing as fast as you want it to. Maybe your ministry is not growing as fast as you want it to. Maybe your business isn't growing as fast as you want it to. Maybe things are just not happening the way you thought they would. And the Lord says, you're on the long road. It's totally fine. You're on the long road. Praise the Lord. You be grateful. Guys, I'll tell you right now, and I'm just going to be honest with you, this message is also for me tonight. This month has been my, lowest growth month ever since I started YouTube and got serious in 2020. And of course, some of it has to do with I'm not uploading as much, it's summer, all that. But you know what? All of that doesn't matter because I used to let it get me down. I used to look at my analytics and be like, oh, I only grew 5,000 subscribers or 10,000. I'm all depressed. But you know what? I don't even care. Because as the Lord's showing me this word tonight and the Lord's speaking to me through the scripture, I'm just like, praise the Lord. I'm growing slow. I'm on the long road. Praise the Lord. I want it to be healthy. I don't want to explode viral, millions of people. I want to grow in the long road. I want to grow slow and healthy. So praise the Lord for the long way that he has you on. Maybe it's felt like it's taking you, other people got there in a month. It's taken you years. Don't get mad about it. The Lord knew they can handle the short road. The Lord knew they can handle the battles. You might not be able to handle what they were able to handle. And in a sense, I was fast-tracked, right? I started preaching. People were coming to my house. So I don't want to make it sound like I was on the long road my whole time. But there are moments where the Lord says, Isaiah, I'm taking you on the roundabout way. But I know why I'm bringing you through the wilderness. Father, I thank you tonight that you're with us in the wilderness. If you're in the wilderness right now, just type one in the chat. If you know I'm in the wilderness, I'm in that season, type one. I want to pray with you because you're not going to stay there, says the Lord. The Lord wants me to tell you, you're not staying in the wilderness. Maybe it's a season. Maybe you just got a new job. Maybe you just lost your job. Maybe you just had a new baby. Maybe you just, whatever it is, maybe your kids are out of the house. There's a transition where you're in that wilderness where you're trying to find your bearings. But the Lord says, don't camp out there. Don't live there because he's bringing you out of the wilderness right now. I thank you, Lord, that many people are exiting the wilderness, God. I thank you that many people are coming out of that wilderness season. And I pray, God, that they would come out of that wilderness season and they would not have the mindset of Egypt. They would have not the mindset of the culture, but God, they would have your mind. that would have your thoughts, that would have your desires. God, we right now in Jesus' name that would give us the mind of Christ and not the mind of God. We pray that we would come out of the wilderness completely and whole, Lord. We would not walk into our own desires according to our flesh, but Lord, we'd walk according to your ways. Now, we thank you, God, for with us in this season. Transition. Maybe you just transitioned out of a church, coming out of one spot into another spot. Maybe the place God called you stayed too long. Just pray, Lord, that you'd bless in these things. God, in these wilderness of our life, you'd be with us. Be there as a cloud. Let us be the cloud. Let us know the cloud. Let us follow the cloud. Hey, bless these people. Unto these people. Deliver them, Lord, I pray. Deliver them, I pray. Freedom, breakthrough, healing and whole right now. I pray in Jesus' name. Every Egyptian is being bound. Trials you're facing, I'm praying that you'll never ever deal with them or see them again. But the Lord is fully setting you free and fully healing you right now. I pray in Jesus' name. God, do it only you can do. Touch lives, God. Touch marriages. Touch families, God. Touch bodies. Touch ministries, Lord. Do it only you can do, we pray. Anoint them, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, I want to give you a chance to sow into the broadcast. If this word spoke to you, sow into it. We're not beggars. We're believers. So if you can't afford it, don't apologize. But it is good ground to sow into. We keep doing this week after week. We're on our fifth year. We're grinding. We're pressing. We're not getting discouraged. We just, you know, I know these are going long, which I'm not going to apologize because you guys like the long streams. You guys probably want me to go longer, but we are building like an hour and a half sermons every week. And I don't know. Again, I've told you guys every week I'm following the cloud. Whatever God tells me to do, I'm doing it. And for the last month, it's been the sermon type, taking stories from the Bible and then preaching them. It's not topical. It's not a topic like we used to always do. It's not verse by verse, but it's a different format. But it's been, I believe, powerful. I believe people's lives have been changed. So if this has been blessing you, sow into what God is doing. Partner with us. As Kristen said, don't dine and dash. Just like if you go to a restaurant and get a good meal, you leave something. Partner with us. We appreciate it. And these weekly prayer meetings at Mondays at noon, these are amazing, guys. Partner with us monthly on the website, on the YouTube members. Helps us out. We're viewer supported. And if you're one of those like, I don't want to give, I can't believe you're asking for donations, guess what? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep watching and don't ever give, okay? Watch for free, because the beauty is all of our content is free. You don't have to pay for it, okay? Our content is all free, so you don't have to pay. So you can just watch for free. You don't have to give any money. Just don't complain in the chat, all right? Don't complain that you're getting it for free. You don't have to give. The people that complain about giving don't give anyway, so just hang out and be a part.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.